I wish Heather was singing this morning. She's supposed to, but we've all been sick since Wednesday. And I get over things a little quicker than she does. And she has a sore throat and stuffy nose. And she said, "Trust me, you don't want me to sing." I said, "But hon, you always sound good, even when you're sick." And, you know, it's what I'm supposed to say, right? And she said, "No, not this morning." So you missed the best part of the service. And it's not my fault, it's hers. So, but no, it's good to be here this Father's Day. It's good to be a dad. It really is one of the greatest joys in life is being a dad. And in spite of our sickness, we had a garage sale this weekend, and a young man came through, and he was all excited because he was going to become a dad within the next week or two, and expecting his first child, a little girl, and he was excited. And I just said, "Hey, man," he said, "I'm a little nervous, a little scared." I said, "It's the best thing on earth is being a dad." And he said, "I've been told that." He said, "I'm just a little unsure what to expect." I said, "Don't worry about it. You just go with the flow." But dads are great people. I thank God for my dad and the impact that he made on my life. And I just hope that I can have that type of impact on my children. And I found some humorous stories about fathers that I thought I'd read to you this Father's Day before we go get into the message. This one's entitled, "Thanks for the Soda, Pop." It says, "Before I took the old family car to college, my father loaded the trunk with soft drink bottles filled with oil, coolant, transmission fluid. Sure enough, my car overheated. Scolding myself for not listening to my father's instructions, I looked at the engine and saw how well he knew me. The oil cap was labeled Dr. Pepper, the transmission stick Coke, and the empty coolant container Diet Pepsi. I finished the trip safely thanks to my dad's genius." And this one's the right choice. "My 16-year-old brother," a lady said, "Ryan, was out late with friends one night, suddenly realized the next day was Father's Day. He had neglected to buy a card for his dad. After much searching, he located an open store but was disappointed to find only two cards left on the picked over rack. Selecting one, he brought it home, somewhat sheepishly presented it to our father. Upon opening it, Dad read this message: 'You've been like a father to me.' He looked at the boy puzzled, and the boy said, 'Well, Dad, it was either that or the card that said, now that I'm a father too.'" And sometimes dads get left out. I've learned that when it comes to kids. And this was funny. It's called Pop versus Pup. It says, "While flying from Denver to Kansas, my mother was sitting across the aisle from a woman and her 8-year-old son. Mom couldn't help laughing as they neared the destination, and she heard the mother say to the boy, 'Now remember, run to Dad first, then the dog.'" And then I'll read this one. It says, "Paternal Payback. One day, I received my learner's permit. My father agreed to take me out for a driving lesson. With a big grin, he hopped in the back seat behind the driver's seat. 'Why aren't you sitting up front on the passenger side?' I asked. 'Sweetie, I've been waiting for this ever since you were a little girl,' Dad replied. 'Now it's my turn to sit back here and kick the seat.'" So... and then I'll read this. 5 things you'll never hear Dad say. Number 5, "I'm lost. I think I'll stop and ask for directions." That was an obvious one, you know. Number 4, "What do you mean you want to get a job, son? I make plenty of money for you to spend." Let's see. "What do you mean you want to play football? Figure skating's not good enough for you, son?" Never hear Dad say that. Number 2, "Here's my credit card and my new car keys. Go have some fun." And the number 1 thing you'll never hear Dad say, especially on Father's Day, is, "Here, you take the remote." And So there's a little Father's Day humor. I thought it was humorous. And hope you enjoy your Father's Day. Let's not forget our dads today. I said that to remind me, because I need to call my dad today. But anyway, if you have your Bible this morning, turn to Exodus. Exodus chapter number 2. Number 2. And we're going to read one verse in Exodus number 2 and then two verses in Exodus number 3. And I will ask you to stand as our custom is for reading the Word of God. But just follow along as I read in Exodus chapter number 2 and verse number 23. It says, "And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of their bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of their bondage." Now look at chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. It says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the land into a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites." I'd like to preach a message this morning, and I'll explain it a little bit more as we get into it, simply entitled, "The Cry of His Child." The Cry of His Child. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you, dear God, for the privilege to preach this morning. Thank you for this good Father's Day crowd, Lord, here at Loomis Park Baptist Church. And Lord, I pray that as the message is preached, dear God, you would touch hearts. And Lord, you would remind us, Lord, of the tenderness, Lord, that you possess toward us as our Heavenly Father. Lord, and that your ears are always attentive unto our cries. And Lord, that how it moves you into action. And Father, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would work in hearts today. Lord, remind us, Lord, that these are traits that not only you possess, but Father, that we ought to possess as fathers and dads and Christians. And Father, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would, Lord, just have your will and way in this service. Lord, if there's a person here today who doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that today they would be birthed in your family, Lord, by faith unto salvation, that they might be able to call you their Heavenly Father also. And Lord, that they might receive all the rights and privileges and blessings that go along with being one of your children. And Father, Lord, I pray that you'd encourage the saint of God today. And Lord, we once again thank you for our fathers. Lord, I thank you for my dad and the godly example that he's been to me and the faithfulness that he's demonstrated. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would just bless again this message. We'll give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There sure are a lot of benefits and exciting times when you're a dad. There's a lot of special moments shared between a father and his children. There's a lot of happy times that thrill a father's heart. And there's a lot of exciting times that will cause you to cheer. And a lot of things that will make you proud. And all kinds of emotions that are involved when you're a dad. And when you're the right kind of dad that's involved with his children and teaching them and training them and spends time with them, you have a lot of special moments that bond you together. And a child's simple request can cause you to drop what you're doing and go and to be with them and to help them with whatever it is that they want, no matter how insignificant the task may be. But there's one thing in the life of a child that will spurn a father into action, that will motivate him to do something for the child much faster and with much more fervency than any other thing. Yes, we like to praise our children for the good they do, and we like to reward them, and we like to lift them up and help them and give them good things when they do well. But there's one time that we really are spurned into action to help our children, and that's when our children cry. When our children cry, when we hear the cry of a young child in need, it causes us to put aside everything else that's going on. To forget about the ball game that's on TV, forget about the project that we're working on, and focus all of our attention on the needs of that child. And as I got to thinking about that, I thought about some things that, some cries that we find in the scriptures of God's children that cause God to stop everything in heaven and cause God to focus His attention on us as His child. And I'm glad today that I have a Heavenly Father who's never too busy when I need it. I'm glad today that I have a Heavenly Father who, no matter what's going on, He's always there for me. He's never too busy. He's never got something else that's more of a priority. My Heavenly Father, I'm His number one priority this morning as His child. At least that's the way I feel. And as you're a child of God, I know that you feel the same way about that. And I'm glad today that God's that way with us. He never ignores us. He never pushes us aside. But He's always there. And simply the cry of our voice will cause Him to come into action. And I wanted you to see today some cries that get the attention of God. The first thing I noticed was in our passage that we read in Exodus that gets God's attention is the cry of suffering. The children of Israel have been in bondage in Egypt, and they'd been abused and tormented by their taskmasters, and they'd begun to cry out to God and to wail and to moan to God and to beg for God to do something. And God said in verse number 7, He said, "I've seen the affliction of my people and I've heard their cry." As a dad, one thing that really gets me stirred up is I remember one time my daughter came home from a church and she was upset and sad, and she was holding her stomach. She wasn't feeling really well. And I said, "Olivia, what's the matter?" And she said, "Well, one boy punched me in the stomach today when we were playing games, and it still hurts." And boy, I tell you what, it was just a little kid, but I wanted to go beat him up, you know? That's the dad in me, wanted to protect my daughter, you know? And when my children suffer, I suffer. I remember another time when, just a couple months ago, when Olivia had her tonsils out, and she was recovering. She was in the recovery room waking up from the anesthesia, and she's terrified of needles. She hates IVs. She had a traumatic experience when she was real little with one, and she's never forgot it, and she can't stand them. And they didn't put the IV in before they took her in. They waited till she was asleep, then stuck her with the needle. And so she didn't realize it was there until she started coming out of the anesthesia. And she was there, and she was groggy, and she was just starting to wake up, and she reached over and she felt it, and she started to freak out once she realized she had an IV in her arm. And she was suffering. She wasn't in pain, but in her mind, she was in agony. And as her father, I saw that. I wanted to help her all that I could, and my heart was torn seeing her suffering there. And I got up, and but I couldn't stand to see her suffer. And so I got up, and I said, "Man, I need to get out and get some fresh air." And I started to take a few steps away, and I got a couple steps away from the bedside, and I started to get lightheaded and dizzy, and I turned around and I stumbled my way back to the chair and sat down and just about passed out right there in the hospital room. And it was all because my child was suffering, and I couldn't stand to see her suffer. And, you know, in that instance, I was helpless to help her. I couldn't have helped her even if I wanted to. But I'm glad today that when my Heavenly Father sees us suffering, He's never helpless to help. He always is able to meet the need. He always has the power. He always has the ability to take care of whatever the suffering is. Here, Israel was being bullied and beaten and tortured by their taskmasters. And they cried out to God in their time of suffering, and He heard their cry. He heard their cry, and He sent a deliverer. In Jonah chapter 2 and verse number 2, Jonah cries out to God. He said, "In the time of my affliction, I cried out to God. From the belly of the whale cried I, and he heard me." In the book of Judges, there's at least five times where it says, Israel cried unto God, and God sent a deliverer. He heard their cry. In Judges 3:9, they cried out, and God sent Othniel to deliver them. In Judges 3:15, or Judges 3:15, he sent Othniel. In Judges 3:9, he sent Ehud. In Judges 4:3, he sent Deborah. Judges 6:6, he sent Gideon. Judges 10:10, he sent Zephthah. And on we could go of the times when God heard the cry of suffering from his children. And he said, "I'll deliver you. I'll deliver you." I'm glad today when my Heavenly Father hears our cries of suffering, He's able to deliver. He's able to deliver. And let me just say this. It doesn't matter how many times we find ourselves suffering or why we find ourselves suffering. Most of the time Israel would found themselves in times of suffering, it was because of their own sin. It was because of their own choices. It was because of their own decisions. But yet, when they cried out to God, our Heavenly Father had mercy upon them, had pity upon them. You know, sometimes we look down on a father for over and over and over again coming to the aid of a wayward child. How could we expect him to turn his back on him when our Heavenly Father never turns his back on us? I'm glad that no matter how many times I may stray away from God, the moment I cry unto Him, He's there to say, "Come on home, son. Come on home, son." 2 Samuel 22 and verse 7, David said, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and He did hear my voice out of His temple, and my cry did enter into His ears." I'm glad God hears our prayers and hears our cries in our times of sorrow. And we ought to rejoice in that. Psalm 22 and verse 23 and 24, David said, "Ye that fear the Lord, praise Him. And all ye seed of Jacob, glorify Him and fear Him. And all the seed of Israel, for He hath not despised nor abhorred the afflicted, or the affliction of the afflicted. Neither has He hid His face from him, but when he cried unto Him, He heard." I can think of many times when I've been in a time of sorrow and in a time of suffering and cried out to God, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt God heard and He delivered. We ought to be able to praise God because God never turns His back on us today. He hears the cries of suffering from His children. I think also that sometimes God hears the cries. I thank God that He hears the cries of sadness from His children. You know, there's lots of different types of cries that a child has. You know, and as a parent, you learn to distinguish when you hear them crying. Even if you're in the other room, you can tell, he's just upset about something. He's just mad. There's a mad cry. Or there's the I don't like you, big sister cry. You know, you're mean to me kind of cry. Or there's the cry, I'm throwing a big temper tantrum and I'm having a fit kind of cry. But then there's an obvious cry that sticks out in the ears of a parent. And that's the cry of the broken heart. When a child's heart has been seemingly torn in two and they're seem like all hope is gone in that heart of that child, and they just cry out and sob. And it's not a rebellious cry or an angry cry or a temper tantrum cry. It's just, I'm devastated and my life is over kind of cry. And you know what? There's been times that's taken place. I remember we were down in just a few weeks ago when we had some meetings down in Illinois, and we took a day and we went over to Navy Pier down in Chicago and saw some of the sights and did some of the activities down there and just had a good day, a fun day as a family. And it was a long day, a lot of walking and doing different things. But near the end of the day, there was something that Olivia wanted to do, and I don't remember what it was off the top of my head. But I remember there was something that she really wanted to do, and we told her no. And her heart broke. I mean, she was worn out. She was tired. And this thing that she asked to do, it was as if it was her lifelong dream. And we said no. And she wasn't mad or angry. She was just heartbroken. And you know, I wanted to scold her. I mean, we were standing there on the pier, and there was
you know, hundreds of people walking by, and here she is just bawling her eyes out. And I wanted to scold her for it, but it wasn't a temper tantrum. It was a, man, I'm sad, I'm devastated kind of crying. As a father, I just wanted to reach down and pick her up and just comfort her and say, it's going to be okay. I almost wanted to give in and say, all right, I changed my mind, let's just go anyway. But I know that's not good either. We got to be consistent, dads, right? We got to be consistent. Yes means yes and no means no. But you know what? Sometimes those cries of sadness, man, they really get to the heart of a parent. When a child is brokenhearted, it breaks our heart too. And you know what? Our Heavenly Father's that way. When our hearts are breaking and we seem like where there's no hope and all around us seems to be caving in and there's no place to turn, God's heart breaks with us. When we cry, I believe it touches His heart. I believe He hears us. I believe it moves our Master. It moves the Father into action. Let me share with you an example in the Scriptures. In Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9. Beginning in verse number 20 or number 17. It says, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. I felt like saying that a few times as a father too. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell down on the ground, and he wallowed foaming. And he asked the father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And here's what I want you to see. It says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. In verse number 24, we see the picture of a father who is at the end of his rope, who's so desperate he can't do anything but cry out. I looked up the word cry in verse number 24, and it means, in the Greek word translated cry there, it literally means to wail or to shriek. It means the man was so overcome with sadness and sorrow because of the condition that he found his son in that he could do nothing but wail out and shriek out to God. Words weren't even enough to express the emotion that he felt, and he just had to cry aloud. He was hopeless and helpless, full of sorrow. Has your heart ever been broken to a point where you could do nothing but cry out to God? Just shriek to God and just wail before God, saying, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Have you ever been brokenhearted over a child who's been gone astray and living after the things of this world and forsaking the things of God that you've taught them, and seemingly they never come back, and your heart just breaks over that child and you can't do anything but cry out to God? Have you ever been brokenhearted because a family has fallen apart? You've done all you can do to hold it together and to keep things going, but it seems like no matter how hard you try, nothing seems to work. Can I tell you, just cry out to God. Just cry out to God. And it says, and when Jesus saw the people running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying to him, thou dumb spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter into him no more. Hey, Jesus has the answer for your sorrow. Jesus can heal the brokenhearted. He can mend those wounds. He can take care of even the most sorrowful situation. And Jesus, of course, I'm glad the reason he does that is because he is a man of compassion. Hebrews 2:18 tells us, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted or tested or tried, he is able to succor them or comfort them that are tempted. Hey, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, Hebrews tells us. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Hey, Jesus is moved by your trials. When your heart is sad, His heart is moved. Cry out to God. He'll hear your cries. When it seems like nobody else is listening, cry out to God. Cry out to God. He'll hear your cries. And then I thought, the third cry that He hears of His child is the cry of fear. A fearful cry. Have you ever been awakened in the night by a blood-curdling scream from your child's room? When that happened, we have a time or two. And when that happened, did you just casually sit up in bed and wipe your eyes and take time to yawn and stretch and kick your feet out of bed and put your slippers on and your house coat and slowly stroll down the hallway and stop off to use the bathroom? And then after you got done with all that, you know, looked in the mirror and made sure there were no bags under your eyes and then walk in your child's room to see what was going on? I don't think so. At least that's not the way we responded anyway. When we heard a scream of fear coming from our child's room, man, you'd never seen us get out of bed so fast. And I'm telling you, I'm a hard sleeper and it takes a lot to get me up out of bed. But when you hear that cry of fear, man, you jolt into action quickly and bolt out of that room and down the hallway and bust into your child's room as quickly as you can, ready to take on the world if it means helping your child. When you hear that cry of fear, It's a horrible cry. It's a horrible cry, but oftentimes we've seen in the Scriptures where God's children were in a place of fear. And every time He came to their rescue. And I'm glad for that today. The cry, the fearful cry, Israel in Exodus 4 verse 10, they'd just been freed from Egypt, but here they were, they'd come up to a point where they were trapped between the Red Sea and they saw Egypt's armies marching after them. And the Bible says that they cried out for fear because they saw the armies of Egypt coming, and God heard their cry and He sent a pillar of cloud to separate them from the armies of Egypt and then parted the sea and delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Peter, in Matthew 14, was walking on the water, but he saw the wind boisterous and he became afraid. And the Bible says he cried out to Jesus and said, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reached out His hand in Peter's time of fear and lifted him up out of that water and saved him. The disciples were in a storm in Mark chapter number 4 and verse 38. And they were in the storm out in the midst of a sea. And Jesus was asleep in the bottom of that boat. And the storm didn't bother Jesus. He wasn't afraid of that. But what got His attention was not the wind and the waves, but it was the fearful cry of His disciples when they said, "Master, we're going to perish. Master, we're going to die." And Jesus simply woke up and said, "Peace, be still." And calm the storms. I'm glad today that Jesus is able to hear the fearful cry and calm even the worst of storms in the child's life, in his child's life. When a young boy or young girl is afraid, who do they look to? They go to Dad. Why? Because Daddy's big and strong. Because Daddy's fearless and Daddy's tough and Daddy can do anything in their eyes, and they run to Him. And well, we have a Heavenly Father today, who's even greater than we are and who is definitely never afraid and can definitely do all things. And David said in Psalm 56, verse 3, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Him. I will trust in Him." Hey, if you're experiencing that fear right now, hey, just cry out to your Heavenly Father. Trust in Him. And then I think of one last cry this morning. One last cry that is perhaps the greatest cry that moves the heart of the Heavenly Father. And without this cry, then none of the rest of these cries mean anything to our Heavenly Father. And that is simply the cry of salvation. The cry of the new birth. You know, when I found out that Heather was pregnant with Olivia, our first child, and then with Silas, I knew. I mean, from the moment we found out, I knew I was going to love those kids. I knew it. Something just happened in me. I was going to love them no matter what, whether they turned out to be a boy or a girl, whether they, you know, no matter how they looked or no matter how smart they were, whether they had any physical issues or whatever, I knew in my heart that I was going to love those children more than anything. But I tell you, when that love became real, it was in the delivery room when those slimy little things were born and I heard that first cry, that first gasp of breath and that first whimper out of the baby's mouth. My heart melted within me, and it was at that moment that I realized how much I was going to love him, and that that love was going to be unconditional, and that that love was going to be forever. No matter what they ever did, I was always going to love him and care for him as my own. Can I tell you, the joy that filled my heart as a dad that day, the love that filled my heart as a dad that day, it's a life-changing thing to become a dad. And I often wondered, I wonder if our Heavenly Father feels the same way in heaven's delivery room. In heaven's delivery room, when he hears that first cry of a sinful child calling out by faith saying, "Father, save me. Father, save me." I wonder if that's as precious in God's ears as that cry of a newborn child is to us. I believe it is. I believe that every time a person bows his head and cries out the cry of salvation to God, I believe it fills him with love just like it does us. I believe it fills him with joy just as it does us. I believe it fills him with pride just as it does us. And it's this cry of the new birth that made it possible for all these other cries to affect the Father. You see, there are some, and I must not conclude this message without including this. There are some who cry unto God who God doesn't respond. Why is that? It's because He's not their Father. He's not their Father. There are those who'll say, "Well, we're all the children of God." Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 41, it said, "Ye do the deeds of your Father." And then said they unto him, "We are not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." And Jesus answered and said, "If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me." He said, hey, they said, "We're all the children of God." And there's people today that say, no matter what faith or religion or background that you come from, we're all God's children. That's what the religious crowd said here. But Jesus said, no, that's not true. Because if you were of my Father, you would love me. But you reject me. You persecute me. You're not of the same Father. You're not of the same Father. And he goes on to tell him that you're not, you don't belong to my Father, but you're of your Father, the devil. You're of your Father, the devil. And listen, in Psalm 18, verse 41, it says, "They cried, but there was none to save them. Even unto the Lord, but he answered them not." Why is it that God doesn't hear the cries of some? It's because they're not his child. But listen, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, if there's been the cry of salvation come from your lips to God when you're in trouble, whether it be sadness or sorrow or torment or suffering or fear, God's going to hear your cry. God's going to hear your cry. Today, if you've never been born into God's family, if the sound of your voice has never been heard in heaven's delivery room, you can change that today. Simply by putting your faith in Jesus Christ, accepting His death, burial, and resurrection as the payment for your sins and your eternal life, completely and wholly, 100%, not trusting your good works, not trusting your righteousness, but completely trusting in God for your salvation, you'll be born spiritually into God's family, and then God will hear your cries. God will hear your cries. Let's pray. Father,